The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, welcome to 2021, where you can't even die in peace anymore. Everything's politicized, like absolutely everything. So Colin Powell dies today at 84 years of age, and because he died, what they called it, complications as a result of having COVID, and he was vaccinated, but he was 84. And so before you go ballistic on one side or the other, Colin Powell died, complications because of COVID. If he hadn't had COVID, he wasn't going to die. He wouldn't have died at 84. So this is a COVID tragedy. Or some of you are saying, welcome back, by the way, this is Steve Noble. Some of you are saying, well, see, he was vaccinated. See, so vaccination doesn't, no guarantee that that's going to save you. And so immediately the man gets, his death becomes just another political football. I am so over that. Aren't you? I mean, maybe you aren't. And if you aren't, that's your problem. But I am so over everything being politicized. Absolutely everything. So now I'm such a skeptic. And I just had a nice weekend. And so back at it. And I'm just so skeptical about everything. And so I'm like, all right, this is, all right, so let me just take you down there. Welcome to, just bring you into my world here. You host a daily talk radio show, Christian talk radio show. You're trying to be a good ambassador for Jesus Christ as you engage in the news of the day. So you hear about Colin Powell, and then you hear that he had complications as a result of COVID, but he had also been vaccinated. So immediately you're trying to figure out what's the COVID angle. Pro-vax, anti-vax, pro-Fauci, anti-Fauci, Trump, Biden. What's the angle here? Because politics is everything. And this is how I work. This is how my mind operates. I go, my first question, Colin Powell dies. And I'm going to talk about Colin Powell because there's some things about Colin Powell that I absolutely loved. And now that just triggered some of you because Colin Powell got a little more liberal as he got older. Okay. But there's some things about Colin Powell and the way he handled his life as a politician that I really appreciated that I think we could all be inspired from as followers of Jesus Christ. So setting that aside, I'll come back to that. But Colin Powell dies today. And my first question is, how old was he? My first question, now see how whack this is? I just realized it. My first question should have been, gosh, did he know the Lord? I'm just now asking that question, which is pathetic, really. So, sorry, Lord. My first question should be, did he know the Lord? I sure hope so. Sure hope he knew Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Okay. Then, my next question now. How old was he? All right, Colin Powell died at 84 years of age. Then my question is that outside the norm for death age-wise? Okay, so I looked this up. Worldometers, there's all kinds of places where you can find it. What's the life expectancy in America? United States of America, life expectancy for men. Okay. Well, lo and behold, it's 76.61 years. So Colin Powell lived 8 years longer than the average. 7.5, 8 years longer. Let's just call it 8. 8 years longer than the average. Well, that's a blessing. That's blessed right there. He lived 8 years longer than the average. So is the fact that Colin Powell died at 84 with or without COVID really, forget the fact that he was incredibly well known. But is that outside the norm? Absolutely not. There's absolutely nothing out of the ordinary about a man dying at 84. It's appointed for men to die once and then face the judgment. The odds are pretty good, like 100% that you're going to die. Me too. Okay, 76.61 is the average for men in America. Ladies, you're doing better. You know, some would say as usual, 81.65 years of age is the average for an American woman. Worldwide, since you asked, we're number 46. We're 46. Who's number one? Do you know who number one is? Hong Kong. Hong Kong has the highest average life expectancy of 85.29, 88.17 for women, 82.38 for men, and America all the way down at 46. Want to know what the biggest difference there is? Food. F-O-O-D. Diet. Okay? And probably a little exercise too. But so I look at that first. And I go, okay, Colin Powell, dead of 84. COVID without COVID doesn't really matter because at 84, he's already beyond the average in America for life expectancy. So don't politicize it because of that. All right, what else? What does that mean, complications as a result of COVID? Well, that to me is kind of disingenuous reporting. I think that's bad to put that as in the first paragraph above the fold. That's you don't put that in there. Why? Because did you know Colin Powell also had Parkinson's? Did you know that? Colin Powell had Parkinson's and blood cancer. So do you really think he's 84? He's already 8 years past the national average for men. He's got Parkinson's disease, which has an effect on your lifespan. So to live to 84 with Parkinson's, wow, blessed and highly favored. And he had blood cancer. So is COVID really a big mitigating factor that we should be paying attention to in the death of an 84-year-old man who had Parkinson's and blood cancer? The answer to that would be no. This isn't a tragedy. He got 8 years more than the average. So just praise the Lord for that. And hopefully he knew the Lord. But I'm sitting there going, but so many things about Colin Powell's life and his death are all about COVID. Does it have to be? No. Is COVID a big issue when it comes to Colin Powell's death? Apparently not, since he had Parkinson's and blood cancer. And he's already 8 years past the average. So Colin Powell is going to die. I know that sounds harsh, but that's just the reality. And then that's when you start factoring in age, and that should change your reaction. COVID or not COVID, vaxxed or not vaxxed, should change your reaction when you hear about a death. So my reaction to Colin Powell at 84 is different than my reaction to a 14-year-old. Right? And it should be. So there's that. Now, what about Colin Powell's life? Set aside his death. That's done. And it's not a COVID story. If you're going to think logically, think critically, it's not a COVID story. Sorry, everybody. Sorry, mainstream media. Sorry, left media. Sorry, right media. Sorry, woke media. Sorry, everybody. The man lived a long life and had Parkinson's and blood cancer and happened to have COVID there at the end. But COVID isn't the issue there. But what about his life? Well, yeah, people are talking about that now. But it really led with COVID. Goodness gracious. I just refuse to live like that anymore. So when we come back, some things about Colin Powell that I really appreciated. I really appreciated his demeanor. I always appreciated the man's demeanor. Because I think his demeanor, whether he knew Christ or not, was very Christ-like. And we could all take a lesson from that playbook. I'll be right back. So if I click on that and I want to comment, so if I want to comment, can I put a picture? I can't. All right, let me put it on my phone. You guys see that?
I used to live like I was under attack. Dialed the nails from my past. I had no hope for tomorrow.
Oh, we're on the air.
Felt so much pressure, yes, I thought I would.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Hey, Steve, there's a clock on your desktop. Oh, really? What's that for? To tell you when the next segment's starting, which was, 20 seconds ago. Well, I'm talking to my friends on Facebook Live and taking a picture of my phone, trying to show them what things look like in here from my angle. So that's funny. Live radio, that's humbling. Yeah, hey, oh, yeah, we're on the radio again? Yeah, better get back to work. Okay, welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking about Colin Powell. Died today at 84, and that got politicized, and let's not do that. Let's just stop. It doesn't have to be about COVID. He was vaccinated. He did have COVID. It was a breakthrough case, but he was 84 and he did have Parkinson's and he did have blood cancer. So what? You can't even die in peace anymore. It's got to be turned into a political football. So setting that aside, let's talk about Colin Powell's life just for a minute. One of the things that I've always appreciated, I didn't really see it earlier on because when Colin Powell came to the front of the line back in 2000, 2001, 2002, with 9/11 and serving George Bush, George W. Bush, number 43. So he just kind of comes out of nowhere. And the thing I didn't notice it through really strong biblical eyes at the time because I got saved in 94 and really didn't start growing in my faith until about 2000, 2001, 2002. But as I look back and over the years, if I chose to set aside my political differences with Colin Powell and just watch the way the man handled himself, then I'm like, okay, that there's some self-control there and some winsomeness, even if I didn't like what he was saying. But the self-controlled and the winsomeness and the calm of the man, not that there aren't times to get a little hot under the collar, because there is a place for righteous indignation, but that shouldn't be the norm for you. Yeah, Steve, but look at what's happening in the world. Okay, look at what was happening to Jesus. Look at the world that he was in when he was here in a body. A train wreck. The Roman Empire, which was just squashing life in Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the world for the most part. And did he run around enraged all the time? And by the way, his moral standard is perfection. Ours isn't. But he didn't run around fist face all like we do. So let's take a page from that. And that was Colin Powell. That's what I think about when I think about Colin Powell's life. 2000, 2001 and onward, is he was just super calm. Cheney was super calm. I particularly enjoyed his vice presidential debate with what they call him back then, the Brett girl, John Edwards. Because he got the young hotshot John Edwards trial attorney. He thinks he's going to come in and deal the old man a death blow. But it was the old man, in this case, Dick Cheney, that was just, I don't think his heartbeat ever got above 55 or 60 beats a minute as he just shredded John Edwards in that debate. And it was amazing to watch. I mean, there was a part of him that I'm like, is he being merciful? Because he was just so out of his league. John Edwards is out of his league stepping into a long format debate with Dick Cheney. But Dick Cheney was just super calm. But Colin Powell had this calmness and kind of this almost a gentleness that he was obviously a brilliant man and very accomplished, an incredible general, had seen war, yet he had this kind of just gentle nature, self-controlled nature when the world around him's politically crazy, 2001, 2002, 2003. And he was just like this calm guy. So I look at that and go, okay, let's translate that into the fruit of the spirit and self-control. And wow, he had it. At least that's what it looked like to me. So when I heard about Colin Powell dying today, I'm thankful for his service. I hope he knew the Lord. But his ability to control himself in the midst of a hostile environment, the political environment, was really amazing. And I think we could all take a lesson from that. Don't you? Okay, so there's that. Let's talk about, since we're on COVID, a couple things here. This is just amusing to me, somewhat frustrating. Chicago Mayor Lightfoot posts maskless photo, because this is politics, at an WNBA game, apparently violating the indoor mask mandates. Okay, so this is Fox. Doesn't mean it's not true. This happened, and there's pictures. So the Chicago Sky clinched the WNBA title over the Phoenix Mercury at home Sunday, with Lightfoot and fans packing Wintrust Arena for the final game. After the Sky took the title, Lightfoot posted a picture online of her celebrating without a mask among legions of masked fans, going against her own city's mask mandate. In fact, Lightfoot's maskless gallivanting skirted both the Chicago local ordinance as well as Illinois' statewide mask mandate. Isn't that interesting? Quote, the Wintrust Arena is following all state and local mandates, which requires guests to wear masks indoors at all times, except when eating or drinking, the arena's website states. Lightfoot did not appear to be eating or drinking in the photo. Right? Do as I say, not as I do. And that's because, science or not, a lot of this is just purely political. And there's a lot of spiritual darkness and control and fear, but there's that one, okay? Mayor Lightfoot's not the first time. Followed by this, White House press spokesperson Jen Psaki brushes off video of Biden violating D.C. mask mandate. I love this. This is a great reply. This is just, don't overly focus on moments in time. Okay, I'm pretty sure if this was a Republican like Madison Cawthorn or something, violating a mask mandate, that Jen Psaki and the president himself, perhaps Kamala Harris, as well as who else would be in there? Well, Nancy Pelosi, pretty much everybody on the left, or somebody on the right. And they would be, you know, righteously indignant from their perspective. But Psaki, this is brilliant political talk in the heat of the moment. Let's not overly focus on moments in time. That's classic. President Biden was spotted walking through a high-end Georgetown restaurant without a mask. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki brushed off a question Monday about President Biden being filmed without a mask inside a Washington, D.C. restaurant, saying people should pay attention to the president's policies and not overly focus on moments in time. How poetic. During her daily press briefing, Psaki was asked by Fox News' Peter Ducey, this is just a gift that Peter Ducey's in there, it's hilarious, to address a video showing Biden and the First Lady Jill Biden walking through a high-end Georgetown restaurant without masks on Saturday, violating Washington, D.C.'s indoor mask mandate. Quote, there is a mask requirement inside D.C. restaurants, Ducey said, yet President Biden and the First Lady were not wearing masks while walking around a D.C. restaurant on Saturday. Why? Close quotes. Psaki responded by incorrectly claiming the controversy centered around a photo, not a video. And she said the Bidens were walking out of the restaurant, not through it. Oh, well, that changes everything. Because that's what it says in the mandate, right? As long as you're walking out of the restaurant, don't worry about it. Of course not. It's not what it says. So I would say, of course, there are moments when we all don't put masks back on as quickly as we should, she continued. But I don't think we should lose the forest through the trees here, and that our objective here is to get more people vaccinated and make sure that schools and companies around the country can put in place requirements to save more lives and keep people safer and not overly focus on moments in time that don't reflect overarching policy. Yeah, but if lives are at stake, ma'am, as the president likes to say, and he's not wearing his mask, isn't he putting lives at risk as he walks through the restaurant, creating a mini super spreader event courtesy of the White House? Well, if you're going to apply equal weights and measures, you would apply it to the president as you do people like, I don't know, myself. So that's kind of funny. Maybe. Maybe not. FDA Advisory Committee recommended approval for the J&J vaccine. This is interesting. We'll talk about this when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. Hope you had a great weekend. If you're here in North Carolina and you add a bunch of fair food, take it easy out there, people. Be careful out there. Well, when did they used to say that? What was that TV show, the Chicago Police show? What was that called? Long time ago, right? It was a great Chicago drama. Somebody on Facebook Live helped me out. Just put the answer. I don't remember what it was called. We all love the show. It's in Chicago. It's about the police. And he used to say at the end of his report every morning when he's talking to all the officers, he'd be, hey, everybody, be careful out there, right? So make sure you're doing that. Okay, so we're talking about the J&J vaccine, all right? So this story comes out. You're like, oh, what? This title doesn't really catch my attention. FDA Advisory Committee recommended approval of the J&J vaccine, but the third paragraph certainly did. One study released Thursday, but not peer-reviewed, tracked more than 620,000 military veterans who received the vaccine, Johnson & Johnson, J&J, and found that protection fell from 88% in March to just 3% in August. That's a 96.5% drop in effectiveness. That's an issue. Hill Street Blues. Thank you to my friends on Facebook Live. That's right. Hill Street Blues. 96.5% drop in effectiveness. That's an issue. And if that's true, do you think that's going to make the mainstream news? Do you think anybody in the White House, the Biden administration, Fauci, anybody? Well, we have some bad news. No, you're not going to hear that. So that makes me wonder, what's the deal with Moderna and Pfizer? Just because I want to deal with reality here, friends. That's all I'm asking. And I don't trust any particular source in and of itself. That's why I consider a lot of different things in a lot of different places like this. In comparison, this is paragraph 6, Moderna's vaccine effectiveness fell from 92% to 64%. That's a loss of about 35%. And Pfizer's vaccine protection dropped from 91% to 50%, which is about a 45% drop in effectiveness. Okay, though, that's a big deal, isn't it? Hey, your car this year, when you buy it, it gets 100 miles to the gallon. But in 8 months, it's going to get like 5 miles to the gallon. You're going to go from 100 miles a gallon the day you drive it off the lot to 5 miles a gallon a year later. Would that affect your purchase of the car? Of course it would. Now, what if they said, yeah, but you come back in, we have an update to the system in the car. And for the first 2 years, the update will be free. But after that, when you come back, it's going to be $350 to update the software, and then we'll get your mileage back up to, you know, 60, 70 miles per gallon. So we can make a big improvement there. But come back in, and we'll take care of you. That's a great business model if you can actually create that. you create the demand and you create the supply, and then one just feeds the other over and over again in perpetuity, kind of like the flu shot. Wow, Steve, you're super negative. You sound like an anti-vaxxer. No, I'm not. I'm not just flat out against vaccines, but I'm flat out against being manipulated. I'm flat out against being coerced, and I'm flat out against being just willing to believe one narrative and not challenge it. Iron sharpens iron. We got to sharpen the stuff that you're getting sold. Everybody's selling everybody. The right's selling you. The left's selling you. Everybody's selling you. Hey, Steve, are you selling me? Yeah, I'm trying to sell you a biblical worldview. Yes, I am. So that's an issue. So you go, wow, okay, I need to pay attention to this. I need to consider these things. And think critically. Don't just buy it because it's coming from your side or your favorite website. Everybody's selling. You live in the world. It's broken and it's twisted. So be skeptical, okay? Not to the point that you're fearful. We haven't been given a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Thank you, Paul, to Timothy. But you need to be eyes wide open, okay? And it's only getting worse, okay? As we move towards end times, it only gets worse. Understand, that's the overall trajectory now. Now, in that downward trajectory, there can be ups and downs, and you can have moments of revival and the church doing beautiful things and humankind not being quite as bad today as it was yesterday, but the overall trend line is down. Just remember that, so don't lose your mind as the world goes in that direction, because that's the plan. That's what it's going to do as it gets further and further away from God and from Christ. That's what you get. 2 + 2 = 4. Regular math, common core math, I don't care what you use. That's what's going to happen. And personally, I take great comfort in that, because God's got a plan. It's happening. I'm in the plan. I'm in the long-term plan in heaven through Christ. So ultimately, all the things here, they matter because they affect people who happen to be my neighbors, but they don't matter eternally. The only thing that does is souls. So make sure that you're not just thinking politically. You need to be thinking kingdom-wise. This is fascinating. So Cross Assembly Church here in Raleigh, North Carolina, Pastor Chad Harvey's been on the show many times. We currently go there. And he brought this up yesterday. He's going through Revelation. And I remember seeing this story, I don't know, a month or so ago. And you want to talk about God's plan, end days stuff working out. This is crazy. Have you heard about this? Abrahamic family house in Abu Dhabi to open in 2022. Abrahamic family. Who's in that? Who's in the Abrahamic family? Do you know? What religions are in the Abrahamic family that go back to Abraham in one way or another? Oh, that would be Judaism, of course. That would be Christianity. It's also Islam. Because Abraham, Ishmael, and eventually Ishmael through the line of Ishmael, you end up with Islam, okay? So they're all Abrahamic, quote-unquote Abrahamic family. So they're actually building a cultural landmark in the United Arab Emirates capital, which includes a synagogue, a church, and a mosque. It's meant to be a beacon of understanding, a peaceful coexistence inspired by the document on human fraternity. And what am I reading this story from? This is from the Vatican's website. Now, this is crazy. Babylon, the whore of Babylon, false religions, crazy stuff going on here. When you read about in Revelation, you're like, wow, really? One world government, one world religion, the Antichrist, what's going on? You see stuff like this, I go, okay. It's lining up nicely. The Abrahamic family house, which encloses a synagogue, a church, and a mosque. It's beautiful. Go look it up. Is a single complex in which it's scheduled to be inaugurated in 2022. It's 20% complete. The committee, which is also supervising the project, said it's inspired by the 2019 document on human fraternity, constructed by Saidat Island in Abu Dhabi, the capital of the United Arab Emirates. The project is closely followed by Pope Francis and the Grand Imam, who endorsed the design. All in the name of what? Ecumenicalism? Although you know our two religions, Christianity and Islam, can't coexist when it comes to theology, right? I'm all about living at peace with everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. This one goes a little beyond that. What's the message they're sending? Spiritually, the Abrahamic family house's design captures the values shared by Judaism, Christianity, and Islam through three main buildings, including a mosque, a church, and a synagogue in one place. Quote, as such, the complex innovatively recounts the history and builds bridges between human civilizations and heavenly messages. There is no heavenly message bridge between the gospel and what Islam teaches. There's no heavenly bridge there, friends. Sorry. The names of the three separate iconic houses of worship in the Abrahamic family house are officially unveiled as Imam Al-Tayeb Mosque, St. Francis Church. Wonder how they gave it that name. What's the Pope's name? Pope Francis! And Moses Ben Maimon Synagogue. Besides the three places of worship, the site includes a cultural center. And the Vatican's like really proud of this, aren't they? Do they not see the scariness here in relative to end times and false religions and one world religion? Well, that would be a nice little place to set that up. Hey, 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 it's all ultimately pointing to me, says the Antichrist. And the Vatican, apparently under Pope Francis's leadership, is all down with it. Hey, this is great. Can't we all just get along? To a certain degree, yes, we should. Like I just quoted Romans 12. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. In the spirit of this document, the Abrahamic Family House Complex, this is from the Vatican, will welcome all visitors wishing to worship, learn, and engage in dialogue. In addition, it will offer a variety of daily programs and activities and will host international conferences. As a place for learning, they say, dialogue and worship, the Abrahamic Family House will be a cultural landmark and an inspiring global symbol that epitomizes the shared values of a harmonious coexistence, nice bumper sticker, and understanding among the three Abrahamic faiths of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Hey, we just have some minor differences, but other than that, we're all pretty much on the same team. Is that true? We're all pretty much on the same team. Hey, Steve, lighten up, bro. We're all God's children. Except we're not. There's 7.3 billion people on this planet. You think they're all God's children? They're all God's creation. They all bear the image, the Imago Dei. They're all made in the image of God. Because of that, and because of that only, all 7.3 million billion people on this planet have inestimable worth and are worthy of dignity and respect, even if they hate you. Go read the Beatitudes, Sermon on the Mount. But the only way you become a child of God is through faith in Jesus Christ. Judaism doesn't teach that. Islam doesn't teach that. Biblical Christianity teaches that. So can they coexist? Sure. Peacefulness? Sure. Good neighbors? Sure. But Pope Francis, and under his leadership, the Catholic Church, is sending a message of co-validity. And that is a lie. That's a lie. And that's a lie that you tell if you don't really love your neighbor. Because you want to avoid the uncomfortable nature of the exclusivity of Christ. Because that means a whole lot of people are out and just a few are in. Like, few there are that go that way. Who said that? Oh, that's right. Jesus did. So this is very scary. It's very alarming. God still rules the universe with his feet up. Satan, you can try all you want. You've already lost. You'll lose completely eventually. Are you on the side of truth? Are you on the side of Christ? Are you born again? Are you a child of God? Or do you buy into the one world religion stuff? Wake up, friends. Wake up.
Oh, angel said, from above, you know you make my world light up when I was down.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be back with you. Hope you had a great weekend. Last Thursday, by the way, we're going to get our buddy David Fisher on in just a second. Last Thursday on Theology Thursday, we finished up a two-parter with our friends at Bob Jones Seminary. We talked about God's design for men 2 weeks ago, which was particularly about how men are leaving the workplace. Obviously not God's design. And then last week we talked about God's design for women, which would include motherhood, include marriage. Not for everybody. God calls some people to singleness. We also talked about women working and in the workplace. The Proverbs 31 woman knows how to make money. She's good with her hands. She's industrious. So all that fits. So a dear Christian sister of mine, Rachel Lee Brady, who used to work with North Carolina Values Coalition, she's been great in the Christian space in terms of dealing with politics. She heard that show, and she had to make some of those decisions for herself. She's a godly mother and a wife and a millennial, so she's going to come in tomorrow, and we're going to talk about that subject from a personal level, from a millennial perspective and what she's dealt with her own peer group. So that's going to be a fascinating conversation tomorrow. I'm excited about that. So I just wanted to give you a heads up on that. But Monday afternoon in the last segment of the show until we get to the first Monday of November, which is only a couple weeks away. Then we talk to our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. Landmarkgold.com is the website, as always, to find out what's going on in the financial world that we need to pay attention to. David, great to hear from you, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing great, Steve. Even better than last week.
Amen. Just continuing to improve. We praise the Lord for that. And by the way, a couple weeks ago, David shared almost the whole story almost the whole show of his and his wife, literally a brush with death because of COVID and everything he learned about that, including ivermectin, things of that nature. So if you're struggling with that, you want to hear somebody that's going to tell you the truth from their own experience, go back to the podcast 2 weeks ago or the Facebook Live or YouTube Live and go check it out for yourself. Great information there. And David's also happy to talk to anybody that wants to reach out and talk about what he went through and what he learned. But we're going to start today with a passage of scripture, as we always do on a Money Monday update. Second Peter, let's start there, and then we'll dive into some of these headlines.
So 2 Peter 1:16, "Now for we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." So the second part of this, the scripture here, Peter's referring to the book of Matthew, the encounter that he had along with James and at the mountain on Transfiguration,
right?
Transfiguration. I am tongue-tied.
That's a big
right
word.
Transfiguration. And when, you know, God spoke and said, "This is my beloved son," and Elijah was there, and Moses. So, but, you know, today there's people still are doubting the coming of the Lord. But just as like, you know, we turn a certain age, you know, we get out of diapers and we get into, you know, regular clothes. We learn how to ride a bike. We learn how to drive a car. All those things are milestones. The milestone will come. Do not lose heart that the Lord, his day will come. And he's coming after his bride, us as believers. But listen to the nonsense, the cleverly devised stories. There's no such thing. There's a lot of cleverly devised stories going on in our government. We'll talk about that in a moment. So listen to the gospel, the truth, because it'll set you free.
Amen. That's the only thing that will truly set you free, and it will set you free indeed for now and forever. So always remember that. By the way, everybody, if you listen to the show, because I know there's a decent amount of people, David, that listen to Christian radio that aren't churchgoers, that are kind of kicking the tires a little bit. Nobody's bugging you when you walk into the church. It's an easy thing to do on a Christian radio show. So if you have questions about the, we say the gospel, or we say something about being born again or being a follower of Jesus, and you're not quite sure you understand the whole heaven thing, if you just go to my website, thestevenobleshow.com, you'll see up at the top the word heaven. Just click on that. That'll take you to a page. Easy video and really simple approach. Take you through the Bible to tell you exactly what the Bible says about who goes to heaven. And so if you're not sure, please go check that out. But that's why we always talk about it on the air, not just on Mondays, but every day. Nothing's more important than that. So what's going on? Market, the economic news, a lot of reports coming out recently, a lot of profit reports, and it seems to be a lot happening. But what are the things we need to pay attention to?
A bunch of news. I don't have time to list them all, but Mohammed El Iran, he's an economist, really well respected. He said today things will get worse before they get better. Another topic came out in the news, says, quote, "Our economy is starting to break down on very basic levels." Another topic in the news says, "Don't buy the dip. The dip is dead." Dennis Gartman, he's a well-known stock investor. He came out and said last Friday, "The bull market has ended and the bear market has begun."
Wow.
Another topic says, "We're living in chaos economics." A couple more. A record of 4.3 million workers, you talked about this briefly, they quit their jobs in August, led by food and retail industries. The Fed, here's one that's scary, the Fed is preparing to launch their central bank digital currency. They're having a review on that. And the last one is probably the most concerning, the great debt crisis of our lives might finally be here. And that was written by Graham Summers, a guy who I've been following every week for a year, and that's where I get a lot of my predictions, where I say, hey, here's what I think is going to happen, and if I was right, I can't take credit. They came from Graham. He's a really smart guy, and he's saying that we could be just weeks away from a legitimate debt crisis now.
And by the way, when you use the word predictions, David, and when we talk about that on the air, I would just encourage everybody, think in terms of extrapolation. So when you see realities and you see numbers and you see these things gathering, and so when the hurricane's way out there in the middle of the Atlantic, but you look at its trajectory and you go, okay, in a couple of weeks, here's where it's going to hit. Most likely it's going to hit here somewhere on the East Coast, somewhere between Jacksonville and Wilmington, North Carolina. That's not a prediction. I mean, we call it a prediction, but that's based on things that are actually happening. It's not like somebody picked up a Ouija board. So when David's talking about this, this is just extrapolation of things that are actually happening. This isn't like turn off the lights and throw a dart at the wall and see what you hit. The kind of the crazy ethereal kind of prediction. This is looking forward based on what's happening in the past, which is why oftentimes when you bring these things up, here we are a year later, a year and a half later, and you're like, just like I said last January. And I'm like, yeah, here we go again, because we're just following the realities and where they take us. So thank you for bringing that up. You've been given out a phone number the last few weeks to ask us to call Congress because it had something to do with the infrastructure bill. So what's the latest on that? And I know you want to give out the phone number again.
So the phone number, 202-224-3121. I watched the interview. Nancy Pelosi was asked the question, are you guys really going to go after, have the IRS go after, and banks tell the IRS that if anybody moves more than $600 a year, are you really going to report that to the IRS and go after those people? Her answer was yes, 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 and yes. I couldn't believe it. Angered me, yes, it did that. Disturbed me, and it concerns me of great level of magnitude, because it tells us how socialistic/communistic our country is headed. And this is all about the infrastructure bill, which they might have to whittle down, thank God, from $3.5 trillion down to $2.2, because two senators, Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, are against it, which I thank the Lord for those two people, because we got to have some reality here. We just can't spend into oblivion.
Yeah, but they went from 3.5 to 2.2, and I'm like, the kid in the back of the class raising my hand going, yeah, that's still 2.2 trillion more than we have. But nothing stopped them before. It's not going to stop them. And really, the $600 thing there, they say up front, we're just trying to find people that are trying to escape the IRS. But do you really trust the IRS or the federal government with that kind of information when you're moving $600 in and out of your account?
Yeah, and no, I don't. And the sad point about it is banks are the one that's telling the IRS. The IRS no longer has to look.
Right.
The banks would be required to report this. And this infrastructure, what I found out, a portion of the infrastructure bill is going to pay for 2 years of free college, people who want to go to college. You get to go for free if this passes. So it's riddled with socialism, unfortunately.
Yeah, so, of course, that takes us to another topic that's all over the place. Inflation, which is definitely not transitory. This is real. It's happening. It's going to be here. But inflation and stagflation, what's the latest issue, talking points on those?
Well, stagflation is, you know, when we're seeing slow economic growth with high unemployment, and we're not seeing an economic recovery. That's stagflation, exactly what we have. Stagflation, inflation, deflation, any of those, the Fed can't fix it. The government can't fix it. We're in it now. CEO J.P. Morgan, Jamie Dimon, came out and said that inflation now is much higher than he expected. The IMF came out last week and said inflation is on the rise, and the Fed needs and others should prepare to tighten policy. The White House is saying something completely different. They're saying nonsense. They're calling inflation and supply chains a high-class problem, in other words, the wealthy. But here's something that really is interesting. After the CPI number came out last Wednesday, after 2 days after your show, every time before this, the indexes in gold went down and stocks went up. This is the first time it did the opposite of that. Stocks fell last Wednesday after the CPI number, CPI consumer price index number, the number that tells us we have inflation, and cryptos fell 1.5%. Gold went up 1.5%. Silver went up 2.3%. So you text me after the show, Steve, and I said, it's coming soon. 2 days later, we saw the first glimpse of a change, where now when people say, how come gold and silver are not going up when we have inflation? I said, be patient.
Yeah.
We will get there. It looks like we're here right now.
Yeah, and Pete Buttigieg, amongst others, the other day, are saying, we look at the supply chain problem, and they're like, that's because things are so good. Americans are buying so much stuff that demand has outstripped supply, so we have supply chain problems. These people are so delusional, it's just shocking. So using gold and silver as a hedge, understanding how to incorporate that, and just getting educated. How do people do that, David?
Simple way is getting a packet and getting some answers from us. Call 844-604-2575. I'll say it again, 844-604-2575. 800-284-2575 or go to our website, landmarkgold.com.
Excellent, David. Great to hear from you, buddy. We'll talk to you again next week. God bless you.
That's good, my friend.
All right, we'll talk to you then. Tomorrow, ladies, grandmothers, mothers, women, men too, we're going to do a follow-up on last Thursday's Theology Thursday with a good friend of mine, a dear Christian woman, a mom, and we're going to talk about a woman's role. Uh-oh. God willing, I'll talk to you then.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.